You know also that right before James gives the sermon, Patty and Tessa come on and give a much more succinct sermon that everybody really, really enjoys. They are doing that this morning, but we're not going to show it. We got sent out in an email link. We're just trying to keep things as simple as possible this morning. So kids at home, hopefully your parents have had a chance to show you that video. And also, if you're at home, make sure you're doing the kids bulletin. So a lot of things we can be doing from home. Now, speaking of home, when I grew up, my goal was to make my mom cry. My goal was to make my mom cry. Let me explain, okay? I wanted to make her laugh so hard that she would cry. That make more sense? Wanted to make her laugh so hard that she would cry. Joy and tears at the same time. If you've never experienced that, you have not fully lived. When my mom would laugh so hard she would cry, it would bring everybody else in the room into this place of unfiltered joy. I mean, these were the times that our bellies hurt, our cheeks gave way, memories were made, and my prayer is like, Lord, don't ever let me lose that ability, because I inherited that ability from my mom, and I have fell off a chair or two in laughing. I think Tim and Christy had got to experience that when we traveled together once. You know, you do that, and it's just like this dichotomy. There's an agony of laughter because your stomach hurts. It's just this joyous pain, and what's coming out of you is a noise that, well, maybe people in the other room don't recognize what's going on, because if they haven't seen if they haven't heard the joke or seen the misstep that caused the spaghetti sauce to go all over the place, they're in the other room, and all they hear is, oh, make it stop. Ah, my stomach hurts enough. Right? That's what's coming from the other room. And they walk in and they see tears streaking down your face, and your face is all red and you're struggling to catch your breath, and they don't know what to do, right? It's like, are you hurt? What can I do to help? Are you hurt or are you happy? Right? So you see from the noise coming from the other room, there's no distinction between tears of sorrow or tears of laughter, tears of celebration. And then if they say, oh, what happened? And you try to tell the story again, you can't help but bust off into laughter, and the room is consumed once more. You know, the ruckus rises to a roar again. As you're sitting in the other room, you're thinking, what in the world is going on? Something is up. I wonder if I want to be a part of that. Have you ever laughed so hard that you cried? I mean, you can just nod or give me a thumbs up. You know, those online, give us a thumbs up emoji. Laughing? Well, I got more laughter than the first one. Good. Laughing so hard that you cry. Are you hurt or are you happy? Because we can't really tell. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, as we've gotten into the habit of praying, we want to hear from you. And we've done a series on learning to listen. We're listening different today. Some the same way online as some back in person. But we trust that you have something to say to us, and we want to be able to pay attention to what that is. So would you open our ears? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you brought a Bible or a phone or an app with the Bible on it, turn with me to Ezra chapter 3. And we're looking at COVID through Ezra's eyes. Hey, COVID through Ezra's eyes. This is a sermon series that we're in, and we're looking at ways that we can kind of relate to the church that came back from exile into Jerusalem. You know, they were given the ability to rebuild the temple. So they had been not able to meet. They got sent back so they could meet. We have not been able to meet. We're back so we can meet. Last week I told you that anticipation is a good thing. And you should feel it. You know, many have been looking forward to this day for quite some time. I mean, when the governor first said, hey, you guys can meet, I literally within minutes had people texting me. Are we open this week? Are we open? And you know that was quite a few weeks back. So we've done due diligence to make sure we're opening well. But for some, you've been anticipating this day for quite some time. You know, this expectation of a return to some kind of maybe possible normal-ish. Israelites felt it too. The excitement, it began to reach its pinnacle when the priests began their praises. Ezra chapter 3, verse 10, it says this, "And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments came forward with trumpets, and the Levites and the sons of Asaph with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the directions of David, king of Israel. Okay? So you see what's happening, right? The foundation has been laid. The workers have reached the end of phase one, or maybe phase two, or in their case, maybe it's phase three. The staff, the priests, the Levites are getting ready. They got their trumpets out. They got their cymbals out. They're warming up their vocal cords. They've even made sure that their microphones are on and their live stream feed is working. Then the leadership, these staff in Ezra, they start singing responsively back and forth to each other, calling the place to worship. Not yet with the body yet, but it would be like if Tim and I were singing responsively back and forth. And their song is found in verse 11. It says, they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord. And they sang, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever towards Israel. Have you heard that chorus before in Scripture? For he is good, his steadfast love endures forever. This was the chant, the chorus that King David, the first time the Ark of the Lord was brought into the tabernacle, that first kind of temporary temple, David and his men sang this back and forth to each other. Now you fast forward to David's son Solomon, and Solomon built the first temple, the one that ended up torn down that we're now coming back to. But Solomon, when he brought the Ark of the Lord into that tabernacle, to that temple, he sang the same thing in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. It said, for the Lord is good, and his faithful love endures forever. It's also in 1 Chronicles 16. So we see King David singing this. We see Solomon singing it. And then when he dedicated the temple, they start singing that again. That's in 2 Chronicles 7. You can read that on your own. Now, if you're familiar with the Psalms, you see this chorus, this chant, this phrase over and over and over again. The Lord is good. His faithful love endures forever. Now, imagine hearing that as a group of people who'd been in exile for 50 years. You're being reminded, this ties us back to the goodness of God. So multiple psalms have it in there. Jeremiah, the prophet, actually said the same thing. He was talking about, this is what's going to happen when peace comes back to people once they've returned from Babylon. So our priests in Ezra 3, our Levites in Ezra 3, they're simply echoing the words of Jeremiah, of King David, of King Solomon. So verse 11, it says, and they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord. For he is good, his steadfast love endures toward Israel. She's singing. I mean, we could join her. You're completely fine. If anybody have trouble with, like, if you don't want her in here, there's a room upstairs you guys can go to, but she can stay. Verse 11, for he is good, for steadfast love endures forever towards Israel. And it continues, and all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was being laid. I mean, take a minute. Like, you guys are just sitting here quietly, but take a minute to soak this in. This is tangible. You can almost touch what they're going through. The text said, all the people shouted with a great shout. A great shout when they praised the Lord. Perhaps some of them were so excited, so joyous that they were crying. It could have been tears of joy. Now, I can't see without my glasses. I do have contacts, but some of you may be crying some tears of joy right now because you're finally sitting back in the building. Nancy, I know you've been looking forward to coming back for quite some time. So deep down inside, maybe you're crying some tears of excitement. Maybe inside you're joining this great shout that the Israelites were shouting. The Hebrew word for shout, it doesn't mess around. Imagine with me Wrigley Field, 2016, after the Cubs won the World Series after a 108-year drought, right? They beat the Indians, they get that last out. What happens? Wrigley Field erupts. The city of Chicago goes nuts. Cubbies fans around the world who've been mourning for 108 years finally get to exclaim. They're making this great loud noise. They're shouting with a great shout. Now imagine the Seahawks stadium once again being allowed to be full of people, and they score. What happens? A roar takes place. Right? It's like record-breaking. Or 4th of July, really quick, recent, when the grand finale of the fireworks are going off. This is the type of sound that this word shout is supposed to portray. It's supposed to say, this is it. And the word shout, it can mean one of three things. It can mean a blast for war, like a shout for war, a shout for alarm, like watch out, something's going to happen, or an exclamation of joy. So war, alarm, or joy. And all of this, it says all the people, this is what's taking place at the temple foundation. But not all of them were crying tears of joy. If you know the story at all, you'll know that there were not all tears shed in jubilation. Verse 12, okay, chapter 3, verse 12. But many of the priests and Levites and heads of fathers, that the houses, the old men who had seen the first house, the first temple, they wept with a loud voice when they saw the foundation of this house being laid, though many still shouted aloud. Not everybody in the story was crying for happiness. Not everybody was laughing so hard there was joyous tears coming down. And they were crying because of what they saw, which didn't look anything at all like that first temple. The prophet Haggai, who was doing his prophet thing the same time as Ezra, he said this for God. He's speaking for God. Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. It says, then on October 17th of that same year, the Lord sent another message through the prophet Haggai. Say this to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of God's people there in the land. Say this, does anyone remember this house, this temple in its former splendor? How, in comparison, does it look to you now? It must seem like nothing at all. Let that soak in. One moment, you've got this joyous, this eruption, this loud cry because they're so excited, and yet there's others who are crying because it looks like nothing at all compared to what it used to look like. And I wonder if the priests, the Levites, who had worked so hard to get it up and going, thought to themselves, ouch, well, so much for the big return, Brian. Notice, it wasn't just one or two of the people in the back of the temple, right on the outskirts of the foundations, that were quietly wiping their tears. It was a whole lot of them. The text says many of the priests, many of the Levites, many of the heads of houses. And it doesn't say they were crying quietly. They were weeping loudly. The Hebrew is they were bewailing. It's a good word. They bewailed with great sound. So loud that you couldn't tell who was laughing with tears and who was crying with tears. Verse 13 says, so that the people could not distinguish the sound of the joyful shout from the sound of the people weeping, for the people shouted with a great shout. Raise your hand if you like noisy places. Okay, one person. Art, two, three. I see about 17 people raising their hand online. Thank you for participating. If you are not a fan of loud noises, you would not have liked to be here. In these three verses, Ezra 3, 11, 12, and 13, there are 54 Hebrew words. 22 of them talk about sound and the amount of noise that was going on. If you were to read this in the Greek, you'd see things like hear, voice, sound, blast, great, raise, weeping, gladness, joy, high and exalted, bewail, cast, and praise. This is what's taking place, and it's so loud. And I wonder how many of the kids that had come back were kind of covering their ears, like, make it stop. But then they'd look around, and they see tears flowing, and they couldn't tell, are those tears of joy or are those tears of sorrow? Now, when I first started studying this text, I thought, this is going to be the power in the text. This is going to be that drive home point. The fact that, yes, whether joy or whether sorrow, they were still together. They were still lifting up their praises to the Lord. And I thought, we can relate to this. Look around. Go ahead. Okay, for some of you, you're just excited to be here, and there's those tears of joy that are right there. But if you look around, and for those who are out there, please know that you are just as vital a part of our congregation as we who are sitting here. But for those who are sitting here, if you look around, what do you see? You see 100 less chairs than were in here in February. You see a third, a quarter of the people who were here in February. Maybe some of you are thinking, like the prophet Haggai said, it seems like nothing at all. And maybe you're wondering, like I'm wondering, is this our new normal moving forward? 40 people in the sanctuary that the fire marshal says we can have 285 in? Is no children's ministry our new normal? Is no passing of plates or communion? You know, we'll take communion at some point, but I don't know if the days of rip and dip are gone. Is this what we have now? We recognize COVID-19 has changed things, not just for the church, but globally. And we're not going to go back to how things were before. I'm sorry if I'm the first one to tell you that, but is this what we have moving forward? Because if it is, I'll tell you, I'll weep for that. I'll bewail for that. What will church be like for Micaiah's daughter? I mean, will she grow up thinking church is all about 6 feet apart? Will she grow up thinking that church is a place where you can't hold hands where you sing, you can't pray with somebody cheek to cheek? Will she grow up thinking that church is about hand sanitizer and not being able to see people smile because they're covered in masks? If that's what she grows up with, I will weep for that. And yes, there'll be days where it is good to be back together. But listen, I think we can relate to what the Israelites were going through because we can have both the tears of joy and the tears of sorrow. And if what you need to hear today, if the meat behind this text is let's mingle those together and raise them up to the Lord, fantastic. May that be the case. And I honestly thought that would be the drive home point when I opened this text and when I started studying. But apparently God thought I needed to hear something different. Because the meat for me ended up at the very end of this passage. We're in verse 13, it said, they were crying so loud and they were laughing in tears of joy. And it says, so the people could not distinguish the sound of the joyful shout from the sound of people's weeping, for the people shouted with a great shout. Okay, here comes the part that hit me. The people shouted with a great shout, and the sound was heard far away. The sound was heard far away. We could say this was the shout heard round the world. And, you know, the sound that's being heard far away, people don't know, is this a war cry? Is this an alarm cry? Is this a cry for joy? You know, after 50 years of there being nothing on the temple site, nothing taking place, all of a sudden you get some workers come and they, you know, they start banging some hammers, and next thing you know, there's this ruckus that's just being raised to the heavens. And if you're a local there and you're in your tent, you got to believe you're going to open your tent door and look out, right? What's going on? And if the ruckus keeps getting lifted up, you may start going towards that, thinking to yourself, I don't know what's happening. Oh, you're crying? Are you hurt? Or are you happy? And they may not have been able to tell, but I tell you, when my mom laughed so hard she cried, if my sisters or dad were in the other rooms, they ultimately found out, they recognized that sound, and they'd come running in because, well, maybe mom's crying, but they wanted to be a part of this. They wanted to be a part of this. And I have to wonder if maybe that's what some of the Israelites or those that were living in Jerusalem were feeling when the ruckus was going up from the temple. They were opening their tent going, what's going on? Because if that's happy tears, I want some of this. You know, I told you the prophet Haggai was doing his prophet thing the same time as Ezra. And in the text that I shared with you, it's like, hey, haven't you seen the temple before? And it doesn't look like anything at all before. And I stopped there. But listen to what God continues to share. This is verses 4 through 9. The prophet says, but now the Lord says, be strong. Zerubbabel, be strong. Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, be strong. All of you people still left in the land. This is right after he said, it looks like nothing at all, right? Well, wait, be strong. Now get to work, he says, for I am with you, the Lord of heaven's army says. My spirit remains among you, just as I promised when you came out of Egypt. Do not be afraid, for this is what the Lord of heaven's army says. In just a little while, I will again shake the heavens and the earth, the oceans and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and the treasures of all the nations will be brought to the temple. I will fill this place with glory, says the Lord of heaven's army. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Don't miss this, verse 9. The future glory of the temple will be greater than its past glory, says the Lord of heaven's armies. And I will bring peace to this place. I, the Lord of heaven's armies, have spoken. Let that sink in. God saying, come on, guys, be strong. Get to work. My spirit is still within you. Don't be afraid. I'm going to fill this place with glory. And he says, what's in the past? I'm going to make it even better now. The future glory of this place will be greater than its past glory, and I will bring peace. It's as if God is saying, I'm not done yet. In fact, this is what's behind. Let's move forward. I'm doing something new. Remember the call to worship in Isaiah? The same text talking about what we're doing here? Forget all about that, Isaiah says. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do, for I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? God's saying, don't look back. God is telling the Israelite people, look forward. I've already begun this new work, and it's going to be better than it was in the past. This was God's message to this joyful yet tearful, sorrowful group of people that was at the foundations. Your best days are still ahead. I can't help but wonder, is God saying the same thing to us? I can't help but wonder, is God saying the same thing to us this morning? Yes, you look around and we're a quarter of what we were in February, not counting those that are watching on live stream. If we're counting those, we might be double what we were in February, depending on how you want to count it. The world is not the same as it was 5 months ago. But God's saying, don't spend all this time looking back because I'm doing something new. I'm already up to something. My spirit remains in you. Your best days are ahead. So my question to you this morning is, what noise will we be making? Moving forward, what will the noises that rise from this house, that rise from our lives, what will they be saying? Will they be tears of sorrow because we're so focused looking back? Or will they be tears of anticipation and joy and laughter for what God is doing in our midst now and what He will be doing? Will we be able to say the noise we bring to the Lord, even if it is tears of sorrow for a while, which is fine, it is ultimately a praise to the Lord. I try at the end of every sermon to ask, so what? What do we do with this? Well, I think the first thing we do is we have to watch what noise we're making. We're being watched. The church is being watched, okay, by the world around us. And some of the noises that people in the church are making aren't shedding a good light on God. I'll just say it. Some of the things that are that the people in the church are saying aren't wanting people to turn their heads and say, I want a piece of that. It's making them turn their heads and say, I don't want anything at all to do with that. So I think our first thing that we got to do is check the noise that we're making. And then after that, we could do multiple things. I mean, perhaps what you needed to hear this morning is that God is faithful and His steadfast love is going to endure forever. And if that's what you needed to hear, maybe go home and memorize verse 11, because that'll be a hope for you. Perhaps you want to be like the people who were weeping for the past. That's fine. That's nothing wrong with mourning from where we came from. But also make sure you're shedding some tears of joy for the expectation, the anticipation of what God will do moving forward. You know, perhaps your call today is to get to work. We've been sitting for 4 months, some working from home, some working, you know, from afar. Perhaps we've been kind of waiting to see, you know, well, what church service do we want to attend via online, or now we're back. You know, perhaps the call for God this morning from us is to get to work, and let's let these crazy Jesus people who are making all sorts of noises, let's make sure we're making noises for the right things. You know, perhaps the Spirit of the Lord just needed to remind us that He is with us, and that's what we need to leave with today. And I began this morning saying my goal growing up was to make my mom cry. And I wonder if part of what I need to do this week is to weep with you guys. Weep for where we've been, but also weep tears of joy in anticipation for what's going to take place. Because I fully believe that God is saying there's more in store in the days ahead. We may not know what that is, but there's more coming. I want whatever we do in our lives, I want our lives to be the lives of people to come running from the other room saying, are you hurt? Are you happy? Oh, I want to be part of this. Could we live like that this week? I hope so. Let's pray. Lord God, I grieve a bit, you know, knowing that there's so less people that are in the building. But I also recognize that church isn't just about being in the building. We've been saying that for years and years and years. Yet there's something about a gathered community. Lord, what we have going forward, we don't fully know what that'll be. And for someone who likes to know, this is hard for me. So would you give me the courage to look for what you're currently doing in and around the people that I'm surrounded with, in and around the people in this church? Give us the courage to look for what you're doing and to join you in that work. And as we do, we want to make sure that the glory that is being raised up to you is genuinely being raised up to you. Ask that you would help us do that well. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.